Hey friends, I'm Brian Dwyer, and you're listening to the Sermon Link podcast from Pursue God. Today's message was originally recorded at Alpine Church in Utah. We've adapted this sermon into a series designed for deeper conversation with your family, your small group, or your mentor. You can find the full series and resources at pursuegod.org.
And good morning, everybody. Here's the title to the sermon today: How to Keep Your Heart Clean Even When You've Been Done Dirty. Has anyone been done dirty before? Raise your hand. It's okay. God knows. He sees it. He knows. We've all been done dirty. And the truth of the matter is, it's the people who are closest to us that hurt us the most. I mean, if it's someone at work that you don't really care that much about, they're not friends, they're not family, you don't see them on the weekends, whatever. A lot of times you can let those things go. But the people that are closest to you, when they do you dirty, man, that's so hard. And as we've been studying this making of David and seeing how David is growing, and David is this man after God's own heart, today we're not gonna look mainly at 1 Samuel, where we've been so far for the story of David. We're gonna study today Psalm 52. Psalm 52 is probably the first diss track in human history. If you don't know what all the young people know what I'm talking about, we young people know these words, okay? A diss track is kind of a, like a hip-hop and a rap thing. It's like when these rappers like diss each other through their music. You know what I'm talking about? Well, David was a songwriter, and Psalm 52, here's how it starts. There's instructions on a lot of these psalms. I don't know if you ever noticed this. If you read the psalms in your Bible, sometimes it gives you like a little commentary. It's actually in the Bible. That's the Bible. The commentary, it's not commentary from your Bible editors, it's actually commentary from the original, you know, writers of this scripture. And Psalm 52 starts like this, in italics. It says this, before it shares the song that David wrote, it says this: for the choir director, meaning it's a song, a psalm of David regarding the time Doeg the Edomite said to Saul, David has gone to see Ahimelech. Now, maybe you've read this before and you're like, I don't know what that means. I don't know who this Doeg guy is. But I want to tell you that to understand the story, you have to go back to 1 Samuel 21 to understand who Doeg is and why David's writing a song about Doeg and his experience with Doeg. And so we're going to start by doing that, and then we're going to finish. We've got to go fast today. We're going to finish by sharing five things to do if you want to keep your heart clean, even though you've been done dirty by someone like Doeg. So let's go to 1 Samuel 21 first. It says this in verse 1. David went to the town of Nob to see Ahimelech the priest. Ahimelech trembled when he saw him. David is still on the run. Remember, if you've been following us in this series, David's been anointed as a teenager. He was anointed to be the next king of Israel. But how many of you know that the process precedes the promise, right? We talked about this, that God gives us promises that sometimes we have to wait for. And so David is in the waiting, and he's on the run, and Saul is trying to kill him, right? And David, in the meantime, is just trying to escape this and wait for God's timing to come to pass. And so here David is, he goes to this town of Nob, he goes to this priest, and Ahimelech the priest says, why are you alone? Why is no one with you? And here's what David said. He's actually lying, but here's what he said. The king has sent me on a private matter. He told me not to tell anyone why I'm here. I've told my men where to meet me later. Now, what is there to eat? Give me 5 loaves of bread or anything else you have. And since there was no other food available, the priest gave him the holy bread, the bread of the presence that was placed before the Lord in the tabernacle. It had just been replaced that day with fresh bread. By the way, if you recognize this story, Jesus talked about this story later on when he was talking about the Sabbath, okay? That's not what today's message is about. But that this passage Jesus refers to in the New Testament. What today's message is about is verse 7. It says this: now Doeg the Edomite, Saul's chief herdsman, was there that day having been detained before the Lord. Now, we're not going to get into the details because really the point to this is to show David's response to this, but I've got to give you a little bit of context so you understand how he'd been done wrong. Basically, what happened is that Doeg ends up telling on David he goes back and he tells Saul about where David was. So Doeg, because Doeg's the chief herdsman, most people believe that Doeg probably was a close friend of David. Remember, David was a shepherd. And so David could relate to this Edomite who's the chief shepherd for Saul. And so there's a lot of reason to believe that Doeg was close to David. And that's what makes the context of this story so crazy. David, Saul freaks out. He finds out that David is in the area, and it says in verse 9, 1 Samuel 22, verse 9, says, then Doeg the Edomite, who was standing there with Saul's men, spoke up. Saul is asking his men, he's like, anybody know where David is? Because remember, he was jealous of David, and he wanted to kill David. And Doeg speaks up, and he says, when I was at Nob, I saw the son of Jesse, that's David, talking to the priest, Ahimelech, son of Ahitub. Ahimelech consulted the Lord for him, and then Ahimelech gave him food and the sword of Goliath the Philistine. And so basically what happened is Doeg turns his back on David. Doeg exposes David. The rest of this, you can go read this for yourself. The rest of the story highlights Doeg's treason. He ends up killing all the priests. Doeg ends up killing all of the priests at the direction of Saul. Now, all that, you can read that for yourself. All that is to set up the context for this song that later on David writes to express his feelings about this guy who was probably a friend of his who just stabbed him in the back and did him dirty. And if we've learned anything so far about David, it's not that David's perfect, but it's that David is a man after God's own heart. And David's reaction to this, I think there's something that we can all learn from this. So I want you to get your Doeg in mind. Who's your Doeg? Who's that person who stabbed you in the back? Who's that person? Probably someone close to you. Who's that person whom you're having trouble to forgive? We all have people like that. Wounds from friends are a lot harder to handle than wounds from enemies. Someone said, Jesus said to love your enemies, right? And he also talked about loving your neighbors. And one preacher made the comment, it's probably because often they're the same person. The people closest to you sometimes become your enemies. And when that happens, it is so painful. So how do you keep your heart clean even when you've been done dirty? We're going to read the psalm verse by verse, and I'm going to pull out 5 steps for you to take. And this is for you or for anyone in your life that you know is struggling with this. Number one, take your pain to God. It is so easy, is it not? It is so easy to take your pain to anyone else but God. It's so easy. If you've been done dirty, it's so easy to turn to alcohol, to take your pain to alcohol, to the bottle. Alcohol is an anesthetizing behavior. That means it's like an anesthesia. It numbs the pain. That's what it does. Maybe some of you didn't realize that, but you're running from something when you're turning to the bottle. And some people, they take their pain to the bottle. Some people, they take their pain to gossip. They take their pain to people who aren't even part of the situation. That's what some people do. Some people take their pain just to themselves. They bottle it up. They internalize it. But they're thinking about it all the time. Some people, that's what you... This is what's easy to do for us, is to take our pain to other places. But David, a man after God's own heart, took his pain to God. Here's how he starts the psalm. Verse 1. Why do you boast about your crimes, great warrior? Don't you realize God's justice continues forever? All day long you plot destruction. Your tongue cuts like a sharp razor. You're an expert at telling lies. Look at what he's doing. He's writing a song. It's a diss track. He's writing a song to Doeg. He starts his song talking about what Doeg is thinking and what Doeg has done. He says, verse 3, you love evil more than good and lies more than truth. Is that true of your Doeg? It's true of mine. I've got one in mind. I'm not going to tell you his name. He's not here today. I just want you to know. But if he was, I'd probably say his name. But he's not here, so no need to say his name. We all have a guy like this, a girl like this. We all have people like this in our lives who love evil more than good, and they love lies more than truth. They're manipulators, they're deceivers. And that's what's so painful about it. Verse 4, you love to destroy others with your words, you liar. Now you can look at this and you can say, wait a second, hold on. What? This looks like he's just dissing on this Doeg guy. No, the main point is, for right now, I want you to know this, is he's saying this to God. He's playing this out to God. He's taking his pain to God. I don't know if you've ever noticed that about the Psalms. Like, I love the Psalms. The Psalms, so many of them are written by David or attributed to David. And here's a guy who is far from perfect. Read the Psalms and you'll see it. He's far from perfect. But what do we learn from David? He took his stuff to God. He knew how to take his pain to God. Some of you guys don't know this trick yet. The word for this is prayer. But you might think prayer is like this formal thing. Sometimes prayer is just this kind of stuff. It is just like, oh, I'm so frustrated. I'm so mad at this person. Do you know that it's appropriate to say that to God? Well, how could I possibly? Because it's right here in Psalm 52. And this is one of many examples. It is okay. It is appropriate for you to take your pain, your frustration, your anger towards somebody who's done you dirty. It is okay and appropriate for you to bring that to God. In fact, I would highly recommend it. If you don't, you'll bring it to your friends, you'll bring it to neighbors, you'll bring it to people who aren't really involved in it, and that's not appropriate. But if you bring it to God, there's something about that that God honors. God honors it. If you don't take your pain to God, you're going to take it somewhere. The first thing we learn is that David took it to God. Number two, make room for God's justice. It is so, the natural man, we're talking about the natural man versus a man of God, a man after God's own heart. David is a man after God's own heart, which doesn't mean he's perfect. It just means that his instincts are things that we should also follow in these examples. Your instinct as a natural man, I won't talk about you, I'll talk about me. My instinct as a natural man is to want revenge. Am I the only one in the room? You don't have to raise your hands. That's my instinct. My instinct is I want, now I might call it justice, but actually it's revenge. Here's the difference between revenge and justice. Revenge is payback motivated by anger. That's what revenge is. We're wounded, so we want to pay someone back. We want to take it into our own hands. The problem with our idea, again, we call it justice, but it's revenge. The problem with our instinct for revenge is we misjudge. We do. We misjudge. In fact, David might have even misjudged. We don't know. David, in his natural instincts, he might have misjudged and thrown a little bit of extra onto Doeg the Edomite. We're not really sure. I mean, really, what we have in the text, it doesn't seem that bad. I had to read it a few times to even understand what the big deal was. And that might be what people are thinking in your world that you're complaining to, and you're talking about this other person who did you dirty, and they're like, I don't really get it. What's the big deal? Who cares? It's because there's something in our human nature where we're just like, we exaggerate. And so when we say that we want fairness, it's really not fairness necessarily, it's payback. That's what we want. That's revenge. But what David is teaching us, I'll show you the text in a second. What David is teaching us is the difference between revenge and justice is making things right based on fairness and truth. That's what justice is. And we don't have God's perfect justice. We're a mixed bag. Every single one of us, we're a mixed bag. And so you think you've got all this stuff figured out. You think you've got justice right. And so, hey, I'll take things into my own hands because I'm going to do what's fair and what's true. Maybe you are. But the truth is, you'll get it wrong, but God won't. And that's why you need to make room for God's justice. Because when you take things into, here's the problem with taking things into your own hands. If you take things into your own hands, then maybe God's not going to take things into his hands. I think it'd be way better if you let God take care of it rather than you to take care of it. And this is what David says in verse 5. He says, but God will strike you down once and for all. Isn't that interesting? David didn't say, but I'm going to strike you down once and for all. I'm going to come and get you. No, he says, God will strike you down. You notice, last week we saw that Saul is throwing spears at David. He's throwing spears at David twice. He did this. And later on, Saul, the whole reason for this situation is that Saul is hunting down David because Saul knows that David is God's new anointed. Saul is hunting down David, and David had two different times, two different opportunities where he could have taken Saul's life, and he didn't. He had plenty of reason to, but he didn't. He trusted God's justice. We're going to talk about this next week. Come back next week. I think next week is my favorite sermon in this whole series. Come back next week. Because we're finally going to see that David gets the promise. It's going to be 20 years in. That's how long the process was. David refused to take matters into his own hands. And we see it again right here. But God will strike you down once and for all, he says. I'm going to leave justice to God. He will pull you from your home and uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see it and be amazed. They will laugh and say, ha, look what happens to mighty warriors who do not trust in God. They trust their wealth instead and grow more and more bold in their wickedness. See, it's a diss track. I told you it was. Like, he's like, God's going to deal with this, and I don't have to. Do you know how hard that is to just say, God's going to deal with this, and I don't have to? Some of you, that's the step you need to take today, is you need to say, I'm going to stop trying to get even. I'm going to stop trying to make sense of it. I'm going to stop trying to take it into my own hands. I'm just going to make room for God's justice. Romans 12, 19 in the New Testament says it like this. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. I love that verse, by the way. I keep going to Hobby Lobby to see if I can find a plaque with that on there. But I can't find that one, but it's right there. It's in the Bible. It's right there. I will take, wouldn't that be a great one for the wall? I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Some of you need that plaque in your prayer closets, because then when you get all worked up, you just can look up at the plaque and say, okay, God's got this. God's got this. Leave it to God. Let God take it. He'll do a better job with it. He's better at punishing. When our kids were little, we've spanked our kids. Tracy keeps telling me, you can't say that. I'm going to say it. All right, I'm just going to be truthful. We weren't ever abusive. Please, if you spank your children, don't be abusive. Okay, but you need to discipline your kids. Different story, different sermon. But anyway, the point I'm saying here is sometimes our kids, it would usually our son, AJ, he would act up as a kid, and Kenzie be like, I'm going to give you a spank. And he would say, a mommy spank or a daddy spank? I'm not going to tell you which one hurt more, but I will tell you this. God's daddy spank is better than your spank. Don't take it into your own hands. Let God take care of it. He's better at it. He's better at it. Wipe that from the record, by the way. We need to get that off. All right. Number three. Own your part. And this is just simply verse 8. It just says this. It says, he starts this off and he says this, but as for me, there's this section in here where he's like, okay, he's been doing this other stuff so far. He's like talked about Doeg and what he's done. He said, I'm going to give it to you, God, and wait till you see what God's going to do. But then he just says, but as for me. So now what he's doing is he's shifting, and some of us never do this, he's shifting to own his part, to say, I'm going to go ahead and think about what do they say, Mark, in recovery? Clean your side of the street, right? I'm going to figure out what's my side of the street to worry about. You've got to figure out what you have control over. Because here's the principle, being wronged doesn't automatically make you right. You've been wronged, and it's true, but guess what? You're also wrong. We all are. You've been wronged, but you're also wrong. Very hardly ever do I see a situation where somebody is coming to me for pastoral counsel. They say, here's what happened, and this person did me dirty, and it's true, but I don't know if I've ever seen a situation, it's very rare, where there's an innocent person in this. That's not to say that it's not wrong what they did. That's not to say it's not worse or more grievous. I don't mean to make light of it. I'm just saying that a man after God's own heart says, I'm going to own my part. As for me, I'm going to own my part. I'm gonna look inward and say, God, what is it that I've done here? Where could I have been better? What is it that I need to confess? There's a toxic trap you've probably fallen into. It's called secondhand offense. It's when you organize allies around your wounds. Do you know that that's a secondhand offense? You're actually causing people around you to sin by drawing them into something that's not their business. So start with that. So many people, that's what they do. So truly ask yourself, what is it that I have to own in this situation? That's number three. Number four, I love this one. Stay planted while you wait. It is so easy to put God on our timeline and to expect him to solve this problem today. But what did we learn a couple weeks ago in David's story? That the promise always comes with a process. That God gives it. He anoints David, and David, this is teenager, he anoints him. He's like, wow, I'm the king. And it's going to be 20 plus years before he wears the crown. So there's this process that David had to endure all the while. And the point is, while you wait for God's justice, while you wait for reconciliation or resolution to this issue, while you wait for an apology, whatever, while you wait for you fill in the blank, while you wait, stay planted. What does that mean? Look at how he says it. Verse 8. He says, but I am like an olive tree. What a cool picture. And some of us don't know what an olive tree does or the qualities of an olive tree. I want to share this with you, but I want to read the rest of the verse. He says, I'm like an olive tree thriving in the house of God. Isn't that cool for him to be able to say? I'm thriving. Are you thriving? Or has that Doeg in your life drug you down so much that you're not thriving anymore? I mean, the point of this thing is that David has learned how to give this stuff up to God and own his part, all these things we're talking about. And so as a result, he can legitimately say, I'm thriving in the house of God. How could he be thriving? Doeg was still out there. How could he possibly be thriving? Because he's over it. Because he's learned the secret to keeping his heart clean even when somebody has done such a thing to him. I've met so many people who just aren't thriving, and I'm like, don't let them continue to have that kind of power and authority over you. Don't allow that in your life. You don't have to allow that in your life. He says, I'm like an olive tree thriving in the house of God. I will always trust in God's unfailing love. Here's some facts about olive trees you need to know. It's really interesting. Number one, they grow slowly. Olive trees take forever to grow. And if you know anything about trees, that probably means they last longer, right? I know that trees that grow really fast usually only live for 10 or 20 years. Trees that grow really slowly last longer. Olive trees don't mature overnight. They take a long time to grow, but they can live for centuries. There are some arborists that believe that there are olive trees in the Middle East that were there during the days of Jesus. Thousands of years. Olive trees can live for thousands of years. They can survive drought and war, harsh conditions. Olive trees are hardy. And this is what he's saying. He's saying, I'm like an olive tree. I'm thriving in the house of God. And the other thing about olive trees is that they produce oil, right? Olive oil, but only after pruning. Only when they're cut deep. I think this is part of what David is saying. David is saying, I've been cut so deep, but it's producing fruit. I'm thriving. Your wounds don't have to be the end of you. Your wounds hurt, but sometimes it takes pain for you to grow. Here's the truth. Everyone is going to go through pain. Every one of us. If you haven't identified your Doeg yet, you'll meet him someday. And then you'll be like, Doeg. Remember that name. There's my Doeg. Everyone will go through pain, but not everyone will grow through pain. It's up to you. If you're going to be an olive tree, or if you're going to be a, I don't know what the other tree is that's not as good, just a, like a weed. How about that? You can be an olive tree or you can be a weed. It's up to you. Stay planted while you wait. How do you stay planted? You stay in God's word. You stay in community. You get around healthy people. You continue to live out some of these things that we're talking about in your life. Like, that is staying planted. Don't allow this offense, don't allow this backstabber to destroy you. You don't have to. He or she doesn't get that power over you unless you give it to them. Stay planted like an olive tree. And number five, the last one is praise in the midst of pain. Here's how David finishes the psalm. It's just a short psalm. Verse 9, he says, I will praise you forever, O God, for what you have done. I will trust in your good name in the presence of your faithful people. I love that. I will praise you forever. Oh, to have that attitude in life. Man, I tell you, I meet so many people who just don't, they get so focused on the wrong done to them. And I really want to make sure to say this. I am not minimizing the wrong done to you. I've heard a lot of stories. There are a lot of really sad, terrible stories. I'm not minimizing that at all. Those are real things. But what I'm saying is you can either just go through it or you can grow through it. And one of the, to me, this is one of the keys, is just to look at this and say, I'm going to praise God in the midst of this. Do you remember the story of, I don't know if you remember the story of Joseph when his brothers sold him into slavery. And then at the, if you remember that story, the multicolored coat guy, and at the end of the story, these guys end up bowing down to him. And you remember the line that he says at the end? He says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. I'm not a grammar guy, I'm a math guy, but I'm going to use a little grammar here for you guys. Okay. Think about the punctuation there. You meant it for evil. He could have put a period there. So many people, that's what they do. Doeg, you meant it for evil. You're terrible. I can't believe you did this to me. You meant it for evil, period. And then you just get stuck in that bitterness, in that anger. You get stuck. But I love David's punctuation. He says, you meant it for evil, comma, no period. But God meant it for good. There's someone who's more powerful than you. There's someone who is sovereign and you're not. There's someone who is just and I'm not. There's someone who is going to make right out of all of this, even though you meant it for wrong. You meant it for evil, comma, but God meant it for good. That's praise. This is what I see in these verses. In this verse, I will praise you for what you have done. So many people could say, what has he done? He's put you on the run. He made this promise to you 20 years ago and he hasn't delivered yet. What do you mean you're praising him for what has he done for you, David? You're a man on the run. You've got Doegs all over the place in your life. This isn't the only guy. He's got so many of these enemies who were close to him. His own sons are going to do this to him. His own sons are going to stab him in the back. So many people could look at this and say, how could you say that, David? How could you praise him for what he's done? What has he done? Some of you, that's your attitude toward God. What has he done? Look at what you've done. All you have is this victim mentality. Switch that around and try this. Try praising him. God, I trust you. See that? I trust in your good name. I trust in your good name. I'm going to trust you anyway. I've gone through the ringer, but I'm going to trust you anyway. I'm going to trust that you are good. I'm going to trust that you are God. Because God can deliver you from the Doeg in your life. That's how to keep your heart clean when somebody has done you dirty. And I want to just challenge you that the only way you can do this is by looking to the cross. I mean, this is the ultimate, you know, the ultimate Doeg in the Bible? Ready for it? It's you. And it's me. We're the Doegs of the Bible. We're not the Davids, we're the Doegs. We're the ones who have done God dirty. The Bible calls it sin. We're the ones who have done the unforgivable to God, and yet God forgives us. And yet God sent his son into the world to go to the cross, to take our sins to the cross, to die on the cross, and to raise from the dead, so that if we would trust in him, then we would be saved. This is where the mercy of God meets the justice of God at the cross. We, because of our dirty deeds, every single one of us deserves death. But Jesus died that death for us. He died that death for us. He said, I love you. I forgive you. And then as followers of Jesus, we're supposed to live like that. We're supposed to operate in the world in such a way that we say, man, that was so dirty what you did. That was so wrong what you did, but I trust in God. I trust in God. I will praise God anyway, and I'm going to love you anyway, and I'm going to forgive you anyway. Colossians 3:13, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And when we operate in this, God sets us free. And I want to pray that God would do that for you right now. Would you bow and pray with me today? Lord, I know that every single one of us has people in our lives. Every single one of us has experienced this. And Lord, I know that for some listening today, it almost seems impossible to forgive. It just seems unbearable to do these things that David illustrates and models for us in Psalm 52. But God, I pray that you would help us. I pray that you would deliver that hard heart today. That person who's here, who is struggling to release it to you. They're struggling to worship you in the midst of it. They're struggling to stay planted and thrive. They're struggling to leave room for your justice. God, I pray that you would set us free from those human instincts. And God, that you would give us a heart after you. God, that somehow you would release us and allow us, Lord Jesus, to thrive and grow like an olive tree. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.